Well, how are you guys doing? I'm Rick Dancer. Welcome to Get Real with Rick Dancer. It's good to be here. It's been a crazy day. It's just been a crazy world that we live in right now. So much going on. I don't know if you guys heard there's an REI in downtown Portland closing down because there's too much violence and their employees don't feel safe. Their customers don't feel safe. People are trashing the place. There's a couple cheerleaders and I can't remember what part of the country, but it was 2 days ago. One of the cheerleaders was getting out of her car, went to go into another car. And the guy inside the car, it was the wrong car. And the guy freaked out and started shooting him. One of them is a critical condition. And then you got a guy at Home Depot, I think it was yesterday morning or this morning, maybe, a guy who works there doing his job. A couple people come in, start shoplifting. He runs after him and they shot and killed him. I mean, the world is just nuts right now. So tonight we're going to provide you with some relief from all that garbage that's on media. Tell a young man, I don't remember how he got a hold. I guess he got a hold of me and has a great story. And he's doing a really great thing for veterans. And I know how much my audience loves veterans. Well, this is a really cool thing. And it brings mountain biking, single track into the picture and how that helps them. So we're going to talk much more about that. Bill London's going to be here in a little bit with your news. And if you're a Eugenian, remember that little thing the city council was trying to shove down your throats? No more natural gas. Well, they may have gotten kind of as my mother. Well, I can't say that on. They probably YouTube would pull me or something. But they got their something in a ringer. Their plans are being foiled by a federal appeals court. In California, that is told Berkeley. Berkeley was trying to do the same thing, and they said, unconstitutional. So now it may be back to the drawing board for the city council. If they live up to what they've always done in the past, rather than just putting their tail between their legs and saying, okay, we're done. Obviously, people didn't want it, and there's a vote on it coming up soon, and it caused a lot of controversy. But more than likely, they'll dig their heels in, spend your taxpayer dollars to find an attorney to try to push the thing through, and then there'll be a vote, and the voters will vote it down, and then all that money that could have been spent on homelessness and all the other concerns that the city council says it has, and instead they wasted it because they won't just suck it up. Those are my opinions for the day. So we'll get to Bill London and all that in a little bit. But first, we're going to bring on our guest. And I got to pull this way down here. We got so much video. Kenny, you sent me. This is Kenny Stone. And the official name is Soldiers on Singleback, right?
Single track, yes.
Single track. I'm sorry, single track. but you sent me so much video. And my program only allows so much, and some of them wouldn't transfer over, but everyone that did is here. So I got them. And you guys,
amazing.
You guys shot some good video too. I like this. So how did this, Kenny, kind of tell people how this began? Like, how did you get involved? Are you a veteran? What's your story?
So I am a veteran. After high school, I ended up trying to go to college. I went to LCC. I'm also from Eugene. Decided school really wasn't for me. I ended up going into the Army. And while I was in the Army, I was in the infantry. I was in from 2006 to just after 2010. I had two deployments to Iraq, both in inner city. And really was going to choose that path as a career. I unfortunately had to come home. My mom had a brain tumor, and they weren't sure she was going to live or die through her surgery. So in that time frame that I was in for re-enlistment, I decided to not re-enlist and come home and be a part of my family. So I came back to Oregon to be closer to my mom and my family. And so that was in 2010. And it took me about 10 years to actually kind of figure out what I wanted to do with my life. I bounced around from job to job and kind of fell into construction and really enjoyed that.
So did your mom, is she okay?
She ended up passing 2 years ago. Live through that surgery. I appreciate it. She ended up having two more surgeries. She defied all their the odds were stacked against her and thankfully she got to live for many years past that, but unfortunately she did pass, and I do miss her. So
well, what a nice son to come back and do that. And also why we're here, thank you for your service too. That's really super important to say that. So tell me about those 10 years. What, I mean, if you're okay with that, I mean, you're bouncing around. I trust me, my friend, I've been in the 30s too. And it was, it's frustrating because you just don't know what to do with your life.
Yeah. So as an infantryman, I wasn't really set up for success coming back into the civilian world unless I went into law enforcement. I actually tried to go into law enforcement a couple times, and I made it through physical written exams, but there was always something, either whether it be funding or the position were filled. I went through the process three times, and each time something happened and I just wouldn't get in. And so I kind of just took that as a sign from above that I wasn't supposed to be in that field. So I just kind of put that on the back burner and just kind of plugged through whatever next job really that showed up. And I fell into construction and actually really enjoyed that for the time period that I did that up until 2021.
So is that when you started the soldiers on single track?
Yeah. So I used to ride in high school, ride mountain bikes for fun. Basically to keep myself out of trouble, really. And I say that, but my group of friends and I did still get in a lot of trouble, like most boys did. It was always something that I loved to do, and just kind of forgot about it until the summer of 2020, that summer fall. During work, I was just kind of struggling mentally. I had a lot of fog and cognitive issues from a traumatic brain injury I suffered while I was in the military. I also suffered just with depression, things like that as well.
I've been there. Don't be ashamed. I still do that. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't think you ever get past it. I mean, do you? I don't know. I don't think it still surfaces its ugly head at just the wrong time. Don't you think?
It does. And then especially here in the Northwest, we have that great seasonal depression during, like, it really hits hard actually probably about now is when it really starts hitting. But we're finally starting to see some sunshine and get that nice weather in. So it's slowly going to back away, and I'm able to get back on my bike more often. And that helps a lot as well.
So Jason, one of my good friends on here, he said, thank you for your service. I was a combat engineer long ago.
Hey, thanks for paving the path. That's a good thing to have.
So you're really comfortable talking about this, you know, your mental health issues and problems. Is that kind of what helped? Is that what this single track really is all about for veterans? This is, I mean, yeah, you disguise with bike riding, you know, but you're luring me into what is this program really about?
So it started with me getting back into the sport, really. I had no idea what I was really getting myself into. I just got it back onto riding a bike and then really noticed a huge drastic change in my cognitive abilities as well as my mental state and just obviously physical state. Being on a bike, I got more active. I was getting fitter and feeling better. So at the end of the riding season in this summer of 2021, I figured, if it helped me this much in the short window, it's got to help the veteran community in a vast way. And so I sat on it for that winter, and with the help of my wife, she kind of just pushed me into just starting something and then figuring it out as I go. And I'm still doing that to this day. But our three main pillars is creating that community that is lost when you get out after being served, because that is a huge aspect that a lot of veterans feel like they lose.
Okay.
So it's recreating that community that you once had, and then also creating a challenge, because mountain biking in itself is a challenge. Either if you're a new rider or an experienced rider, like, you could always challenge yourself. And that's something that, as you're in the military, that you drive and strive for. You want to accomplish that challenge. And then also giving the veteran a purpose again, right? Like, especially with the mental health issues, you lose that sense of purpose. You feel lost. And so giving someone that task and purpose again, whether it be coming out for a monthly ride that we have, or getting into racing, we have a racing team as well, and or just, you know, creating that purpose for yourself to go out and ride your bike on a daily basis. It's those three main things.
So Jason's asking, he says, when you push yourself, you felt better in your head?
Yeah, most definitely. I actually had one of my biggest push early February. I went and did a race down in Arizona. It's called the 24-hour hop. And it was a team event that I was a part of. And it was more of a cross-country style race. I don't like personally riding that way because that's a lot of pedaling. I prefer to just go down steep hills as fast as I can and have a car or something take me back up. I'm pretty lazy.
You, come on, Kenny, no.
So that was a mental push for me. It was each lap I did was a 16-mile loop, kind of flat, kind of some uphill, slight downhill. So I ended up doing, I think, 4 or 5 laps throughout that whole race through that 24-hour period. So for me, that was a big mental push. And I think back on it, and there was definitely a lot of times where I was like, why am I doing this? I should quit. But at the same time, the mental push made me feel better. And it helped me realize that I could push through a lot of other things that most people would probably quit and give up in.
Okay, we're going to come back and talk about when you're recreating community, how this does that, why the challenge, and also that purpose in just a second, okay? I got to go to some of our sponsors. Hold on. And you guys, I forgot to mention at the top, I'm so excited to talk to Kenny, our sponsors for the show tonight. Chris Dental Family Dentistry, where everyone is welcome. Always one of our sponsors every night. He sponsors also Bill London's Weatherford, our newscast. New Leaf Hyperbarics and Wellness Center. Matt's going to tell you about a special they're having on May 1st. It's called Mayday, Mayday, Mayday. And it's a chance you can buy up all your years, hyperbaric, your light therapy, your massage, and everything like that. And then also Montana Oral Surgeons and Implant Center. We'll be hearing a little bit from one of the doctors on that. So let me go right to a couple commercials real fast here, and then we'll get back to our conversation.
I really don't care what people think. And so there's consequences. And maybe one day I'll say something that gets my license taken away or something because I've been anti-masked, anti-COVID vaccinations. And I want real science. And I look at data, and I looked at data from the get-go and stuff. The worst thing they could ever do is just take away my license, and so be it. I'll do something else. I don't care. I'm not going to let people control my thought. And as a doctor, we should all sit there and question things. We should be allowed to question things. And sometimes I might be wrong, but I should have the ability to question things and verbalize that.
The ones that aren't lining up are the infrared because our eyes can't see that spectrum of light.
Yeah, yeah.
But the cool part about the head cap is that not only does it work as a head cap, but we can un-Velcro it, use it on the knee.
Yep.
Or a lot of baseball players use it on their shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
Especially pitchers for heating up their shoulder, getting it ready for pitching a game.
Right.
Hello, everyone. Matt McCarl with New Leaf Hyperbarics and Wellness. And it's almost that time of the year. That time of the year is May. May 1st is a special day for us here at New Leaf Hyperbarics. That is the day we do our second lowest price point sale of the year, which means you can get hyperbarics for $70, massage for $70 an hour, or our power bed for only $35 an hour. No, you can get as many as you would like to put on your account for the rest of the year, and you can use those at any point of the year, but you can only buy them on May 1st. Mayday, mayday, mayday. I'm out of credits. I need some hyperbarics. Give New Leaf Hyperbarics and Melissa a call.
And I was just on the phone today with Matt talking about, we had an interview because he just did some stem cell. It's a procedure. They put stem cells into your joints to recreate, to help your body heal. You'll have to watch it. It's pretty fascinating. And I really loved it. So we got Kenny here. This is Kenny Stone, and he's from Soldiers on Single Track, which is an organization he started. And he himself is a veteran, and he's trying to help other veterans come back. And that's got to be really hard when you have like the total support of a group of guys, men and women, who totally got your back. I mean, like, I don't think there's very many of us that have people that you could say would actually die for you. And you have people there where you're serving that would die for you. Then you come home and you're kind of forgotten and you don't have, it'd be like coming home from summer camp and nobody else understands what you've been through. But this is like not just summer camp. This is like life and death camp. And is that what you missed when you came back? Is it, was it just hard to put life back together again?
Yeah. Having that camaraderie, especially as an infantryman, like we had 30 plus guys day in and day out doing literally everything together from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to bed. And like, even in bed, like there's someone like 5 feet from you.
Right.
So
right.
Like you spend a lot of time with those people and you get to know everybody on a very, very personal level. So when you don't have that, you come home and like, sure, you still have your friends from before and you might maybe make some new friends, but it's not that community that you had while you're in. So a lot of veterans I know just struggle with that day-to-day connection, or just the understanding of what we've gone through, either with our deployment or just even those that didn't deploy, they still have that community that they're missing when they get out.
Tom Hunt says, "Hey, Kenny, thanks for your service and thanks again for giving back to your community. Well done, sir." I don't know why all of a sudden I'm getting kind of teary eyed. Cause I think I like you, Kenny, because I think this is like, you're finding yourself in what you're doing. And so in healing yourself and healing other people, you're healing yourself.
Oh, most definitely. This originally started from something that I experienced, but giving it back to the community has been tenfold for me. And watching it grow and watching relationships grow as well as our organization grow has helped me immensely in understanding things on my own as well.
What do you understand better about yourself from this? What would be
that's a good one.
What's the number one thing that you comes to your head just like that?
My ability to actually lead. I struggle with that just on a day-to-day basis. I kind of question myself a lot. And so starting this organization and running it and doing the things that we've had to do on our end, on the back end that a lot of people don't see, it helps me realize that I am very capable of that and want to continue pushing that forward to help our community as the veterans grow.
So how does it work? Veterans find you and then you take them out. I mean, what does the program consist of?
So we solely have built this through Instagram. And luckily when we started it, the algorithm gods were in our favor, along with like just how we've posted and did things like that. So this is one of our videos from actually out in Black Rock, hitting some of the trails out that way. But being able to go and ride with friends and have them experience this, even if they don't do the jumps, they still get to come out and enjoy the trails. It's been a huge thing for us and a huge accomplishment for a lot of veterans.
Oh, that felt good.
You hear that? Yeah. Oh, that felt good. Because that's challenging. And so you got a guy who's coming out. So that's when you said you're recreating community. So everybody's there together. And then the challenge. So why do you guys need, I mean, I understand, I just want you to tell me, but why do they need a challenge? Why do people in your situation need to have a challenge like that?
It gives them that sense of purpose again, and it pushes them to be better. As service members, we have a high standard to be the best in whatever field we're in. So creating that high standard and then implementing it in riding bikes, you will almost forever be trying to push that limit and be the best that you possibly can.
I love watching what you guys do. That is so much fun. Okay, I gotta pull a couple more.
Right on, Kenny, let's go.
So the great thing about what we've been doing is, especially since through Instagram, a lot of our group is now nationwide. So we have people over here on the West Coast, Oregon, Washington, Idaho, some people down in California, and then all the way over to even...
Let's go, Big D!
In Middle Central, and then even on the East Coast, we have actually a big group ride coming up at the end of the month. Actually, at this location here, this is at Canoga in Brevard, North Carolina. And so we'll have a big ride there with a group of actually 20 veterans that are signed up for that one. And so it's just getting that group of people together to experience it together.
I mean, this is a big deal.
Yeah, it's neat to watch it on the other end, because most of the time I'm taking the videos or a part of the ride, but seeing it from the back end is pretty special.
Tell me a story of somebody that, is there somebody that stands out to you that really, this really changed who they are? I'm sure all of them have something, but something for you that really kind of stands out.
I almost everybody that has reached out and been a part of our program has an immense story behind how mountain biking has impacted them for the better. A lot of people were at the depths of despair and had one friend reach out and take them out on a bike, and it completely changed their life. And so I know what it has done for me on my mental state and my physical state, and as I am as a father to my family and our business, but the amount of other people that has deeply affected them on a positive note is amazing. I can't pick just one, because almost every single person has an amazing story to tell.
So Kenny, is the lesson here for you that just you start with just a stone?
Yeah. It is something that started small, and it is continuing to grow into something bigger than just myself and bigger than just our community as a whole. And I'm just very thankful to be able to share that with other individuals.
So when one stone goes out, it causes a ripple on the water, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And that's what Kenny Stone is? A ripple on the water?
You could say that.
I think that's a tagline maybe you should be using.
Yeah, I'm going to write that down and actually remember that one.
I love what this is, because you're mostly because I'm sitting here watching you, and you're a humble guy, but you're so proud right now, because in a good way, because you truly are helping people like yourself to find themselves, to find the thing that makes them come alive, and then you help them come alive. That's kind of a mission in itself, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely is. And the hard part is really just getting people out the door, believe it or not. As veterans, we hell up in our home. So it's getting them to come to the events. It's one thing to say you'll be there, but to actually physically show up. And I mean, most of the times, if need be, I'll drive to your house and pick you up and bring you to our ride if I have to. Just so you can experience it. It's an amazing event.
So how do people find you then?
So we have we are, like I said earlier, built on Instagram. So Soldiers on Single Track MTB is what we are on Instagram. And then our website is soldiersonsingletrack.org.
So soldiersonsingletrack.org. If I screwed that up, spelled anything wrong, fix it. you can go in there and put, and they want to put a number or anything for people to get a hold of you, that would be fine too. Okay.
Yeah, that'd be great. We have an email list that people can sign up for there, and then we try to communicate and get people set up where regionally where they're at, and try to help them out as much as we can.
All right, Kenny Stone, I am so glad that we did this, because it's made my night.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, I am. I'm really proud of you. This is good stuff, man.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome. I had no idea. Share this as it however you want to get guys to see it. Wherever you want to do it, it's yours. Okay.
All right.
I'll talk to you later. Thank you, man.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Wow. Now that's what this country's about, right there. You see that? When you think about all the stuff we've been talking about and everything going on. And then there's men and women like that who go out and lay their life out there for us and come back and don't let the damage control them. That was a God thing, the stone thing. That was just a total God thing. I was just sitting there listening to him going, wait a minute. It only takes a single stone. And which is fun for me, because then I get to use my gift, which that's it right there. I just come up with stuff like that because God whispers it in my ear. And now Kenny is smiling, and that means something. That's foundational. And I'm telling you, it is. That's foundational. Okay, so got to run one more of our spots, and then Bill London's going to be here to tell you kind of some of the things that are going on. So hang on just a second, because Bill's got a hell of a newscast for you.
Well, I'm Jason Fleshman. I am one of the co-owners of Montana Oral Surgery. I'm an oral and maxillofacial surgeon, and I've been practicing for almost 25 years. I mean, this is a big country. And then the people who are here wouldn't want to be anywhere else, you know? They'll die for their state. Who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want to live in a state where people are that passionate about where they live? I replaced teeth with dental implants. I removed cysts and tumors from patients' faces and jaws. I perform oral and maxillofacial trauma surgery, fixing people's broken jaws, cheekbones, eye sockets. Perform office-based oral surgery and anesthesia. I remove teeth. I replace teeth with dental implants. It's no joke. Yeah, you don't mess around. You don't put up with this harsh environment. This is like the last great place, personally. And then, you know, if you're not from Montana, you probably don't understand. But if you're here, you know.
Good evening from the News Radio, 1120 AM and 93.7 FM KPNW Studios. I'm Bill London. You can hear me mornings, 6 a.m. to 9 on the Wake Up Call. You can also stream us at kpnw.com. And this look at the news brought to you by Dr. Michael Bratland. He's a dentist, and he owns Chris Dental, where they accept everybody. 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 Even me. So you know, hey, they're not judging. All right, here's a look at some of the stories we're following. So in an interesting ruling, a federal appeals court unanimously Monday voted that a natural gas ban proposed by the city of Berkeley, California, illegally circumvents federal law. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit ruled that Berkeley's natural gas piping ban, which the city's government passed in 2019 as part of its climate agenda, does this sound familiar, violated the Federal Energy Policy and Conservation Act of 1975 by banning gas pipes or infrastructure into new building construction. The city effectively violated the EPCA, which prevents local regulations from impacting the energy use of natural gas appliances. Judge Patrick Bumate wrote in the opinion of the court, quote, instead of directly banning those appliances in new buildings, Berkeley took a more circuitous route to the same result. It enacted a building code prohibiting natural gas piping into those buildings, rendering the gas appliances useless. The ruling stated, in sum, Berkeley can't bypass preemption by banning natural gas piping within buildings rather than banning natural gas products themselves. He continued, EPCA thus preempts the ordinance's effect on covered products. Well, at least for the time being, that's a setback to the city of Eugene and its anti-natural gas city councilors that voted to enact a ban on new gas infrastructure, and it probably slows future plans to eliminate natural gas in the city. Now, how that is going to affect an initiative on the November ballot to overturn the city's ban remains to be seen. But also what it does do is potentially give a legal out to those that want to ban natural gas infrastructure by directly going after natural gas appliances. The latest attempt in the Oregon legislature to pass a measure known as Ezra's Law to toughen the sentence for assaults that leaves victims with lifelong injuries has failed. It was the fourth attempt to pass Ezra's Law, which would impose a 25-year prison sentence for assailants who cause permanent physical injury to their victims. Efforts to make the change began after Ezra Thomas, a two-year-old boy, was severely beaten and tortured by his mother's ex-boyfriend, forever changing the little boy's life in 2017, when, again, he was just two. Now, according to Jefferson County District Attorney Steve LaRiche, he said, if you would have seen Ezra before, he was a smiley, energetic toddler. Now you see him, he's wheelchair-bound. His speaking is a series of noises more than anything. Also, Ezra suffers from nearly hourly seizures. The assailant, Josue Jer Mendoza Mello, who was 21 at the time, pleaded no contest to attempted murder in the first degree and criminal mistreatment. He was sentenced to 12 years in prison. Now, why did Ezra's law fail? According to DA LaRiche, he said it's centered around permanent physical injury. But he said when you have legislators who, on one hand, are very much anti-incarceration and very much trying to dismantle mandatory minimum sentences like Measure 11, it's hard to imagine they actually would get on board to support Ezra's law. His remarks, of course, a direct reference to Eugene Democratic Senator Floyd Prezonsky, who tried to get a bill through the legislature that essentially would have gutted Measure 11, but it did not make it past an April 5th deadline. He was trying to do it, but he was unable to. And the question of why would we be debating what a permanent physical injury is, isn't that fairly obvious? If you are injured and you're left crippled, isn't that fairly obvious? If you're injured and you're left with severe traumatic brain injuries, isn't that fairly obvious? If the VA can come up with a way to establish disability based on PTSD, you mean we can't come up with a way to establish permanent disability by percentage? It seems like it's pretty obvious. While legislators are considering a scheme to issue $1 billion in obligation bonds to build a new I-5 bridge in Portland, Governor Tina Kotek says she's not on board with that. She's already stumping for almost $1 billion in obligation bonds for new housing projects, and she believes the money for the bridge should come from existing revenues to protect the state's credit rating. Oregon's minimum wage is going up July 1st. It'll be up 70 cents an hour. Under the state's minimum wage law, the rate is adjusted based on the Consumer Price Index. Oregon has three minimum wage rates, confusingly, based on regions. The standard minimum wage is $14.20 an hour, $15.45 in Portland, and $13.20 in non-urban areas. While downtown Portland's office vacancy rate stands at almost 27%, 26.8% if you're like a vacancy rate Rain Man, that according to new figures from real estate firm CBRE. And what the vacancy rate means is that in downtown Portland, about 27% of the office space down there doesn't have anything in it. That is pretty much in line with Portland State University's survey in March that found that more corporate moves are expected from downtown as business people express frustration over high taxes and crime. And one of those businesses, retail giant REI. They announced Monday that they're going to be closing their store in Portland's Pearl District. And what do they cite? An increase in crime and theft. They said the store in Portland had its highest number of break-ins and thefts in two decades, despite actions to provide extra security. As to whether they're going to stay in Portland or try to find another place in Portland, they said, well, rather vaguely, we're evaluating opportunities. They did helpfully add they still have stores in Tualatin, Hillsboro, and Clackamas that are going to remain open. The Oregon Health Authority has issued licenses to the state's first psilocybin facilitators. Three people are now licensed to support clients using psilocybin or magic mushrooms, but only inside licensed service centers. In March, the first actual manufacturer's license was issued to a Portland-based business, but now there's three licensed manufacturers, including one in Lane County and one in Medford. All right, now that we have legalized psilocybin for medical purposes, once it becomes normalized, I'm giving it 4 years before we see a ballot measure that completely legalizes psilocybin for recreational use. You watch. Start in increments and move from there. Well, Oregon's unemployment rate dropped to 4.4% in March, down from 4.7% in February. In March, the gains were the largest in healthcare and social assistance and professional and business services. The major industries that actually cut a substantial number of jobs were retail, trade, and transportation, warehousing, and utilities. And I guess you could say this is good news. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention data showed 2021 was the third year in a row that suicide deaths among Oregon youths decreased. The Oregon Health Authority reported that Tuesday, and it marks the 26% decrease in the number of suicide deaths among youth and young adults, 24 and younger, from a peak in 2018 when 129 youth took their own lives. In 2029, that number was down to 95, still way too much. Suicide remains the second leading cause of death among people ages 5 to 24. The CDC data does show, though, that death by suicide among those older than 24 increased in 2021. Oregon has the 17th highest rate of suicide in the U.S. And if you're what they call ideating suicide, or know somebody that might be suicidal, you can call or text toll-free 988 for assistance. There is a look at what's going on, and now it's time for Rick to continue to give you some sort of dose of real, a big old IV right here of real. Get real, Rick.
All right. Thanks, Bill. That's what we do. Just what Oregon needs, another drug legalized. Like you're not drawing a whole bunch of drug addicts to your state anyway. Might as well add the mushroom people to the list. God, what is wrong in that state, you guys? Come on. This has got to change. So one thing that's really right in the state, tonight at 6 o'clock, Tim and May, our friends, the doctors at BS Free MD, are having their Docktails with Cocktails party, and you're invited. You bring your own cocktails. It's BYOB. And the more they drink, the funnier they are. So hopefully they've already started. And I'm going to see if I can do this. Hang on. I've got watch. This could happen. I'm producing as we go. Here they are.
The Oregon Zoo back in March of 2021, so a little while ago, was pre-ordering coronavirus vaccines for its animals.
You what?
They started vaccinating all the animals because they had a bunch of positive COVID tests in the animals. How did it turn out? Well, not well. Oregon Zoo black bear dies suddenly of cardiac arrest. Actually, they put the bear asleep to do a routine exam on it because, you know, you don't really want to do a routine exam on a gigantic black bear without it being asleep. Unfortunately, he never awoke. They were doing CPR on the bear for like 15 minutes or something like that.
Damn.
His name was Dakota. Rest in peace, Dakota. Not sure what killed you. We're not saying it was any intervention.
Maybe it was the anesthesia.
All right, and that is tonight, 6 o'clock, on all your favorite channels. You can find them. They are crazy people. The thing I want to know, Tim and May, because I know you're out there, is if you, since you guys are doctors, if that bear were not waking up and you were giving CPR, would you give a bear mouth to mouth? I'm just asking. Do you give him? And Tim, I know you'd slip a little tongue, wouldn't you? When you get done watching their show, all you do is you think, poor May. So again, that's tonight, 6 o'clock. BS Free MD. And you can find them on, I'm sure you guys are on, I'm sure it's on Facebook and everything. You'll find it all over the place, but you just look them up on there and you'll find those guys. And we want to thank them for their support too. They're one of our sponsors as well. And we love helping them move along with what they're doing, and they're helping us move along with what we're doing. So that's a good night. So again, Kenny, thank you for being the stone, being the rock that started our show and got us off to a good start and doing what you do for veterans. Thank you guys for sharing this on your page, because sometimes Facebook throttles things back. So take it, share it on your page so other people can see what Kenny's doing and what the local news is going on and what's happening around the country. And tomorrow night, really interesting story. I have a logger out of Astoria coming on to talk about some new plans that the State Forestry Department has come out with. And they're going to cripple not only the industry, but many rural communities. You know, when you don't have logging, they're going to put huge restrictions on state forest land, which is the only thing available. If a timber company doesn't have its own lumber, its own timber, then they have to use state timber, because the federal doesn't really open very much up at all, if any. And we'll find out tomorrow from a logger, since they know a hell of a lot more than I do. But this logger, Jake Browning, he was one of the guys from Axemen. Remember the Axemen show? That logging, when they were doing the logging show, he was one of the guys on that show. And he's very concerned about what's going to happen. And an interesting point he was making, which I found fascinating, is, you know, you put loggers out of work. Now, where does all the machine guys go? And about the guys that fix the logging equipment, the gas for the logging equipment, the diesel. What about the grocery store where those people used to go to get groceries, or the diner, Fred Meyer, Costco? Everybody suffers in Oregon, and this is going to hit Oregon super hard. And they just don't talk much about it, do they? Well, tomorrow night, we're going to talk about it all right here, 5 o'clock on Get Real with Rick Dancer.